The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
One of the greatest opportunities for UWM to contribute to the economic development of southeastern Wisconsin lies within the university's College of Engineering and Applied Science. The college has already made significant strides in that area with some major partnerships with Johnson Controls, General Electric, and many other leading industries from the area. Now the college is poised to do even more under the direction of its new dean, Brett Peters, who recently joined UWM. Brett is today's guest on UWM Today. Welcome, Brett. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
So you're from the South, Texas A&M, your most recent stopover. Tell us about your first impressions of coming to Milwaukee.
Well, it's a great place. When I first came, I was quite surprised by the beauty of the city and all that it has to offer. And now that we've been living here for several weeks, we're really delighted with the community. UWM is really a wonderful place. Obviously, I was attracted to it during the interview process and seemed like a really great fit for me, and I'm finding that to be true. So it's really good to be here.
And you are filling the shoes of the fellow who went on to become our current chancellor at the university. So Mike Lovell did quite a great job in his years as head of the college, creating a lot of those partnerships. Do you feel any pressure as you take a look at the next steps that you'll be taking?
Well, I do think there is a little pressure. The chancellor, Lovell, was well-regarded when he was dean. And really did a lot of great things for the college, and everyone seemed to really appreciate his leadership. So there are big shoes to try to fill, but it's also great to have an engineer in the chancellor's office. He certainly understands the role that engineering can play in the community as well as at the university. While he looks at a balanced view of the whole university, I think he will be very instrumental in helping engineering continue to grow and evolve and contribute to the economic development of the region and help us to achieve the potential for all that we have to offer.
And he also filled your cupboards with some wonderful people, with the 20-plus hires of really top-notch engineers during his tenure as dean.
Yes, it was an excellent opportunity, really kind of unprecedented, I think, to hire that many people all at one time and at a time when most of the rest of the country was struggling a little bit in terms of having the budget to fill those faculty positions. And so we were able to recruit some really excellent young faculty, and they have just really created a whole new culture in terms of the research growth and excitement. And I believe that it's permeated throughout the whole college. And we've really just seen a lot of growth and development from that faculty hiring.
Brett, how do you view the potential for schools like yours, the College of Engineering, to be engaged in helping to create a stronger economy here? I mentioned at the beginning of the program, a lot of people are looking at you and the college to help businesses in the area. Do you see that continuing aggressively down the road?
Certainly. I think that we interface in several different ways. Of course, we educate students and we train hopefully those students as engineers to go out into the workforce. And so we're always looking to partner with industry to better understand their needs and to design curricula that will meet those needs. The recent partnership with GE Healthcare, for example, had that educational component and that workforce development component targeted in this particular area of computational imaging. And I believe that the university and the college will continue to look for ways to educate the students to fill the needs of the community, the region, and beyond. But also through the through the research activities that complement our educational programs in terms of working with the companies as partners to really advance the state of the art and to look for the future of the technology that will be employed and the type of activities that they're going to need to remain economically competitive. And so I think we have that sort of dual front of both education, particularly with our formal programs, but also with continuing education opportunities as well. And then the research aspect of really looking to the future and helping those companies grow and develop and ensure that they do have a bright future.
You know, over the last 20 years, the whole manufacturing scene has evolved here in Milwaukee. We've seen some of the great big giants of manufacturing shrink as global competition has taken some jobs out of the area, in some cases out of the country. And yet there's a real strength here in southeastern Wisconsin in terms of companies that make things. That has to be a real plus for a college of engineering, knowing that you're surrounded by people who are like-minded in terms of creating and bending metal and shaping things, right?
Yeah, indeed. I think it's great. This is an environment where there is that activity, and it really fits well for College of Engineering to be located here. Certainly, the manufacturing landscape has changed dramatically over the past decade, but in Milwaukee, there still is a very high concentration of manufacturing activity, and it continues to evolve toward more high tech, toward companies that are really on the forefront of their areas. You know, I mentioned the partnership with GE Healthcare earlier, the partnership with Johnson Controls. Both of those, I think, are true indicators of companies that are looking to push the forefront and to see the opportunities of working with the university to do so. But it's much broader than that. There are companies of all sizes, from those large companies all the way down to smaller companies. And each of them is, I think, really reinvigorating and reinventing itself in terms of the manufacturing capability and how to be competitive in sort of the new global manufacturing economy.
And so how does a college, how does an organization such as the one you lead with lots of really, really smart people who are teaching and doing research, how do you make sure that that knowledge does get back into the marketplace, does eventually show up on the factory floors?
Well, again, I think we do it through those two primary connections, one through our partnerships with industry on the research side. Our faculty are very talented and are working on really challenging problems, but for the most part have a very applied focus. And so they're really interested in connecting with industry and ensuring that their research is relevant and that will eventually lead to technology commercialization and technology transfer. And so we have, a faculty that's very interested in working on real problems, really making an impact and trying to make a significant difference with their research in industry. And then obviously through educating our students, as we continue to make sure that they're trained well and that they're exposed to the latest techniques and that they're understanding what the future holds for engineering, and then they are taking that out to the marketplace as the companies employ these students and bring them into their organizations.
How has engineering education evolved in these last 10 or 15 years? What if I were in one of your classrooms 10 years ago, would the experience, would the material that I was looking at then still be relevant and still be taught today, or have things been turned upside down because of the rapid nature of change in engineering?
Well, it's actually a little bit of both. I mean, the fundamentals, the core principles on which engineering is built, that foundation is still largely there. And we continue to emphasize that aspect of the engineering program. But the advances that have been made, the new discoveries have just really created a whole, as you say, sort of a turnover and revolution in terms of the types of things that we're doing in the classroom. Certainly, computing advances have dramatically changed engineering education. There's a much more of a sense of trying to bring the new discoveries to the classroom much more quickly and through extracurricular, not really extracurricular, but companion types of activities like summer research for the undergraduate students. There's also a broadening perspective. We're trying to do, and unfortunately we don't have more credit hours to do it in, but we're trying to do more in terms of exposing the students not only to these technological advances, but to just a different environment, international experiences through study abroad or even international internships are things that we're trying to create more opportunities for our students so that the educational experience as a whole, not just what's happening in the classroom or in the lab, but throughout their entire experience really prepares them well for their future.
You know, that's really consistent with what we've seen here in the last couple of months in terms of some of the studies that have been taking place. Tim Sullivan, a former head of Bucyrus Erie, which is now part of Caterpillar, has himself led a task force looking at preparing the next generation of people to work in the manufacturing world, actually looking beyond manufacturing. But his main focus, I think, originally was looking at companies that build big things. And he suggested that one of the challenges that we face is that a lot of young people today don't necessarily find manufacturing, engineering as sexy enough. You know, it's not like we're necessarily producing that next iPhone 8 or iPhone 9. And he said there's a public relations aspect to selling that field to the students of today. Would you agree with that?
I think so, to a certain extent. I think once the students are exposed to a lot of the exciting things that are happening in engineering, and when they can see that manufacturing is perhaps not like the vision that they might have crafted from many years ago, I think they do start to get excited. They start to get excited about the opportunities to really make a difference, the opportunities to kind of change the world in terms of how it impacts people, whether it's through alternative sources of energy or through providing clean water. I believe students get really excited about these opportunities, and as we connect them to how engineering plays a key role there and how manufacturing and the manufacturing companies are really leading the way in providing this technology and the products that society needs, I believe they start to get excited. So it goes back again to education, this time really educating the students or prospective students about how engineering has evolved and how manufacturing is evolving and what the true opportunities really are.
You know, we've heard a lot of talk over the last few years, particularly as we now have come to an end of the presidential campaign, with lots of discussion and debate about what the future holds for the country and how education works into that. One of the great lamentations is that we've not done a good enough job as a society educating young people in the middle grades, in the junior high or high school, in the STEM field, the science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that we're not doing enough to excite them at that stage of their development to all the potential that you've been speaking to that is open and promising when you do get into college. How do you reverse that? How do you get that spark going sooner?
Yeah, well, that's a challenging problem, and you know, certainly we're trying to institute programs that would reach back into the K-12 education that would provide opportunities for the students to learn a little bit more about engineering early on. Trying to connect with teachers. We this past summer had a Research Experiences for Teachers program in the College of Engineering, so teachers were on campus learning more about basically working in the research lab, seeing kind of what some of the state of the art was, what the recent advances were, so that they'd be better prepared to talk to their students about that and even work it into their courses. So that's a challenge, I think, is one that we continue to work on, but it's really important, as you mentioned, to really instill that spark early on, and to have the students really want to move in that direction and start to prepare for that early on, as opposed to trying to convince them after, you know, they're already in college.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio, Brett Peters. Brett is the new dean of the College of Engineering and Applied Science at UWM. Came to us just this summer, and most recently from Texas, where you were at Texas A&M, an incredible school, one with an international reputation for preparing people in the STEM fields. Any comparisons you've made yet or drawn between, I know the weather is different down south, but between UWM and a school like Texas A&M?
Well, certainly the weather is different.
Get more different.
That's what everybody keeps telling me. We will experience that soon. But the fall was beautiful, so we certainly enjoyed that time.
Because you are a Southerner by birth, right?
That's correct. I was born and raised in Arkansas and spent some time in Georgia in graduate school and then moved on to Texas. So this is a whole new experience for me. So there are certainly other differences. Texas A&M was a large engineering program, constituted a large portion of the university, with A&M being the land-grant school of Texas, but some similarities in that I think engineering plays a really key role here at UWM, much like it did it at Texas A&M in terms of the economic development and the advances in terms of technology that can push forward advances that are really needed for society. The culture is quite different. Texas A&M being much more of a rural school, a college town setting, UWM being in an urban setting with a lot of other things going on. So not everything revolves around the university, much like it did in College Station. So that's good and bad. It's got some positive aspects, but at times you wish that UWM was a little bit more of a focus, because we do have so much to offer to the community and to the region.
As you think about your tenure, as you consider ways to recruit even more of these great engineers from really, I suppose, around the world to Milwaukee, what do you think will be the biggest selling point that you'll have to work with?
I think that the opportunities here for doing applied research and for partnering with industry and for having a position both geographically as well as through the partnerships and the foundation that's been laid for those partnerships to really make an impact, I think will be a big draw. UWM and the College of Engineering has research in some of the exciting areas that are really on the forefront today. In terms of energy, in terms of biomedical, looking at water and ensuring that we have plentiful fresh water supplies in the future. All of these are areas where I think there is a lot of interest from researchers, and I think that we are positioned well not only to do top quality academic research and scholarly research, but to connect that with industry to make sure that it will be applied and we will have a significant impact. And I think that will be attractive for a lot of people looking for places where they can really make a contribution.
Brett, as I've described to some of the folks that I run into here in town, as I describe the ways in which UWM has come together with the JCIs and the General Electrics and hosts of other companies, sometimes there's a sense of surprise on the part of folks who aren't in the university saying, well, gee, don't these companies do their own research? And they seem curious why the research would be brought to the university's doorstep, because of the notion that the world is still like the old AT&T or Bell laboratories, where you had companies with, you know, millions of dollars and huge facilities doing their own thing by themselves. That's not really the way research is done anymore, is it?
No, that model has changed. Most companies now don't really have that true vertically integrated structure of research from basic all the way through very applied to commercialization. It's much more of a broad spectrum now with the federal government through a variety of different funding agencies. Funding a lot of the more fundamental research in different fields that lay the foundation for technology development. And then university research really looking at advancing that toward commercialization and toward application in the field, but generally falling short of being ready to be deployed as a product or as a new technology. And that's really where the industrial R&D efforts kind of take over and take that technology, which has been developed and proven and converted into something that is really a commercial product that's marketable and fits within a broader technology portfolio. And so that interface, I believe, is one where historically it's been challenging. A lot of good university research never made the transition because the industry folks weren't aware of it, weren't plugged into it. And so these partnerships and having the scientists from Johnson Controls or the engineers from GE Healthcare working closely with the faculty researchers at UWM and in the College of Engineering allows that transition to happen more smoothly and allows the research to continue to grow and develop. Those companies obviously then are looking to take that and advance it, but our faculty also are in a much better position to understand what the true problems are, understand where the obstacles and drawbacks are, and guide the further development of their research activities to ensure that they are really making that impact and making a significant difference.
And those faculty being on the front line are able to go ahead and tell their students who will be working in those companies someday what they ought to be thinking about, right?
Exactly. It's a wonderful feedback there. The faculty are really plugged in to what the real issues are. They're making advances that are making a difference, and then they're educating their students, both their graduate students working in the lab, the undergraduate summer research students working in the lab, and then in their classroom environments as well.
I'd like to talk about another development that has been underway for some time, and your arrival coincides with the groundbreaking of the new research and development laboratory building out at the Research Park, the UWM Innovation Park out in Wauwatosa. Economic Development Administration has put up several million dollars to build a business accelerator. And as I understand it, a number of engineers, a number of people in your unit will be both located in that facility and ultimately in another part of the research park that in the next few years may have another large state building doing this sort of research. Was that one of the attractions that you had when you were considering what the next move would be in terms of your career?
Oh, definitely. I think the Innovation Campus and the plans for that campus were really exciting. Engineering is slated to be a big part of that. Much of the focus of those activities is around the biomedical area and the biomedical engineering area. The location close to the Medical College of Wisconsin, close to some of the industry that are also working in the general healthcare area and the other medical facilities are there, makes it ideal for locating some of the biomedical research activities there and being able to do joint research across these institutions. And just like we talked earlier with the industrial partnerships, those partnerships with the clinical side of medicine and the access to the doctors and the real problems that they encounter will just help facilitate those the developments of that research field. And being located across the street, literally, will just facilitate those partnerships and collaborations. And so definitely exciting developments, I think, in the near future in that regard and on that campus.
Describe, if you will, a little bit what some people call the water cooler effect, the fact when you physically are next to people that are aligned with what you're doing, but not identical to you. That this face to face conversation, does that really make a difference in terms of collaboration and new ideas?
It really does. It's so important. It's really hard to describe in exactly what happens, and it begins to be hard to replicate in other environments. But if you have people just interacting on a sort of daily basis in casual, informal ways, not structured, they talk. They talk about what they're doing. They talk about challenges they're having with their current research. They talk about opportunities that have come up, a deadline that they're facing. And as people engage in this just normal human interaction, those linkages form and other people see opportunities for collaboration or they have an idea that might help somebody over a particular obstacle. And so those opportunities to bring people together, to have them interact in an informal but regular basis just is so stimulating in terms of creativity and enhancing collaboration.
How will that make the U.S. more competitive in this world environment? Is that that process you just described where you've got this pollination of ideas and people, does that not occur in other countries? You hear China, for example, producing, an engineer around every corner, it seems. It sounds pretty scary. Is that an advantage that the U.S. might have over some of the countries such as China?
Well, I think if we can do some things creatively, if we can bring together the right researchers in the right environments and design those environments to really foster that type of interaction and lead to that collaboration. I think the focus on advancing technology and advancing the state of the art, as you mentioned earlier, manufacturing has changed. And so much of what's happening in many other parts of the world now is more routine. It's more well-known, well-worked out. And where the U.S. really leads is in pushing that envelope and advancing the technologies. And that really requires creativity. It requires innovation. And those things are really enhanced by these types of interactions.
I know you've been in the job just a couple of months, really, in terms of arriving this fall. As you think about where you would like to take the college, again, under your tenure, any early signs of what might be a primary focus? Or are you still looking through all of the opportunities that are in that deck of cards you've been dealt?
Well, we're definitely exploring what the opportunities are. The timing is actually quite good for me because the university as a whole is going through an academic planning process. It's a key part of the overall strategic planning activities at the university level. So from that perspective, it gives us a good opportunity to sort of step back and assess where we are, where are there some strengths, where are there opportunities to move forward. Certainly the areas that we've mentioned in energy, in health, which is a big focus for the entire university, and our activities in biomedical fit well with that. In water, which again is a big focus for the university and an area where I think we have a lot to contribute and a lot of potential collaborations. These are areas we're going to continue to explore. How do we move forward and create unique niches that we can build on? But we're really assessing the broad spectrum of activities, looking at where the opportunities are. I hope that we will continue to walk this balance between doing really top quality scholarly research, but having an applied focus, building those partnerships with industry, and connecting that research back to our education to continue to enhance the educational opportunities for our students.
Yeah, and the student really is the center of this, aren't they? I mean, you could talk all you want about, you know, helping industry, which is critical, but at the end of the day, you are expected to turn out that next generation of engineers.
That's exactly right. We do. We impact economic development on many different levels, and certainly our partnerships with industry and the research we're doing is one of those. But educating the students, developing a strong engineering workforce, and making them available for the companies to hire is really a key part of our mission, and it's at the core of all that we do.
And is that student that's walking on campus for the first time this year, is that student any different than the student than you when you began your career, or a student a dozen years ago?
Well, it certainly seems like the admission requirements keep ratcheting up. The students, the quality of the student body just continues to improve. Students they're really impressive in terms of their capabilities. But I think also their desire to make an impact. We talked earlier about how to entice them to engineering. They're really looking for making an impact. Many of them, they want to change the world. And so they're looking for ways to do that, ways to really create new things and to be innovative and to make a significant difference.
And so with that idealism, perfect match for the opportunity that a college like yours offers.
I think so. And I'm excited about being here to take advantage of it.
Brett, we're excited to have you. Welcome to Milwaukee, and Godspeed as you continue to build out this pillar of economic development here in the community.
Thanks so much.
Brett Peters, the new Dean of College of Engineering and Applied Science, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.